Good day, friends. We are so glad to come to you again today with the Word of God, and we're studying together the 14th chapter of the Gospel through John. And I'm going very slowly through these passages because they're so filled with wonderful, wonderful truth. Remember, our Savior is talking to His disciples just before He went to the cross. And they're so, shall I say, they're so filled with sorrow because they have an idea He's going to leave them. This has been brought in upon them, but they don't understand it. So the Lord manifests such love and such comfort, and He teaches them wonderful things about His relationship to His Father. This is extremely vital. You remember in the 14th chapter we have four questions and answers, and we're dealing in the last question was with the third one. From verse 9, it starts at verse 8 really and runs right on through verse 21. The question is, Philip says to the Lord, show us the Father. And you remember the Lord's answer was, have I been so long time with you and don't you know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. Believest thou not that I'm in my Father? My Father is in me. My union with my Father is displayed by my words and by my works. This is the 10th verse. The words that I speak unto you, they're my Father's words. The works that I do are my Father's works. He dwells in me. Believe me, I am in my Father. Believe me that my Father and I are one. This is what He's saying. When you see me, you see my Father. When you know me, you know my Father. When you know me, you know God. Believest thou not? I'm in the Father. Believe me, I'm in my Father. My Father is in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Now, we have no trouble there. I think most people will acknowledge that our Lord is very clear that His Father is made known through Him by His words and by His works. But now He comes to verses 12 and down to verse 15, and He brings up an amazing thing. Not only is my Father revealed in and through me by my words and by my works, but you believers, everyone who believes on me, has to reveal the Father. That's why we're left down here on earth. Why didn't the Lord take us home the moment we were saved? Wouldn't that have been wonderful? No, it wouldn't. Be wonderful for us, yes, but how is He going to reach the next generation? And for 1900 years He's allowed His people to stay on earth for a while. And while we're on earth, our faith is tested, it's purified, it brings glory to Him. We grow in the grace and knowledge of God. He wants us to grow to maturity. At the same time, He wants our lives. The more we grow in the grace and knowledge of God, the more we reveal to men something of the character, something of the love, the heart of God. God was made known through His Son. I'm repeating these things. I'm doing it deliberately. I want it to be very clear to you. When our Savior walked the earth, if men wanted to see what God was like, they looked at Jesus Christ, His Son. He that has seen me has seen the Father. Now He's leaving them. What about all the following generations? From the time our Lord died to the very present time, how are men and women in the world to see God? They must see Him in His people. It's folly for me to say that I'm a child of God and there's no revelation of my Father in me. Take it in the human, for example. When you see me, you see my Father. In fact, my dad used to kind of revel in the fact that oftentimes he was taken to be my elder brother. Sometimes they say, where's that brother of yours? And Dad didn't have a brother. They were talking about me. I looked like my dad and I walked like my dad. I took on some of the manifestations of my Father, something of His character and something of His life. I was my Father's son. But I was born again into another family. I was born into God's family. I've got a new Father, an eternal Father, a wonderful Father. He's holy, He's righteous, but He's also loving and gracious and tender and compassionate. And being a child of my Father, my Heavenly Father, there should be some manifestation of His character, of His heart in me, through me. And this is what the Lord is saying in verses 12, 13, and 14, and 15. First of all, he informs us that if I believe on him, I will do the works he did, and greater works than these will I do because he's going to be with the Father. Now again I say, he's not dealing here with the materialistic, nor with the physical. He's dealing with the spiritual. And again may I say, the moral and the spiritual are far superior, far greater than the materialistic or the physical. And I maintain that Luke chapter 4 verse 18 is the ministry of our Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. What for? To preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to give deliverance to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. That's his whole life among men. For his 3.5 years in his ministry, he preached the gospel to the poor. He could say, for example, in Mark chapter 1, when the disciples said to him, everybody's looking for you. What were they looking for? The spectacular. He had just healed a leper. He had just cast out demons. What was his answer to the disciples? Let us go to the other towns round about and preach the gospel. For this cause came I forth. Our job is to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted. And there are plenty of brokenhearted people that need you. To give deliverance to the captives. There are plenty of people that are bound by sin and by shame. They need you. There are great men who've been blinded by Satan, the god of this world, and our job is to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. To do something with those who are bruised. A lot of bruised souls, bruised people today, needing help. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. To preach the blessed coming of our Savior when everything will be made right. That's our ministry. And as we walk with God, then the character of God and the heart of God is made known through us. But how am I going to do it? So verses 13 and 14 are our resources. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I'm repeating what I said in our last lesson. These are our resources. And we're to pray what for? Mark, the key word is that the Father be glorified in the Son. The revelation of Jesus in his people. And when I pray for the glorification of God through his people, for the revelation of Jesus Christ in and through his people, I can pray with great confidence that whatever I ask for the glory of God, he will give it. He will give it. Then he adds this little statement, and if you love me, keep my commandments. I will take it up again. It's taken up again in verse 21 and verse 23. But I want this clear in your mind. Now, let's go on. Not only does he say that I have his resources in prayer, but he also promises something else in verse 16 and 17 and 18. I will pray the Father. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, another one called to your side, a paracletos, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, he dwelleth with you, he shall be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Now let me just stop here for another moment. Notice in verses 16 through 18, the Father is made known by the indwelling Spirit. Now here you have the promise of the Spirit of God, and he will take the things of Christ and show them unto us. But here you have, how can I show the Father? I give you my resources, and not only so, but the Holy Spirit will come to live in you. Notice in verse 16, I will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. For he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. the indwelling Spirit of God. Now here is something of which the world knows nothing. Notice what our Lord says in verse 17, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. And here's an amazing thing. Here's an amazing thing. The world knows nothing about the Holy Spirit who lives in every true believer in Christ. It's an amazing thing to me that the man of the world will use God in his cursing. He will use the name of the Lord Jesus in cursing. You hear men curse and blaspheme, and they use the name of God and they use the name of Jesus, but I've never yet heard one use the name of the Holy Spirit. It just seems as if God has kept them from using the name of the Holy Spirit of God. Sometimes I have wondered about that with respect to our Lord's statement in the book of Matthew chapter 12. You remember where they accused Jesus of performing miracles by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. And the Lord Jesus made the statement, you can blaspheme in my Father's name, you can blaspheme in my name, but he who blasphemes in the name of the Spirit of God commits the unpardonable sin, ascribing to the Holy Spirit the works of hell. For that's what it is. When you come to John, you remember chapter 8, they said to Jesus, when he said, which one of you convinceth me of sin? They said, say we not well unto you, you're Samaritan, and you're demon-possessed, you have a demon. Now Jesus said, the Spirit of God's going to come to live in you. He's going to abide with you forever. This is a Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. I'm not dogmatic on this, but I'm of the persuasion the world knows nothing of the Holy Spirit of God. He may have heard the name, but he knows nothing of the ministry of the Spirit of God. I want you folks who are Christians to realize this. God has done a tremendous thing. He not only redeemed you from sin and gave you life and made you a child of God, but by the Spirit of God he comes to live in you. Why? That you might reveal the Father to men and women. Again, I come back to your context. Philip said, show us the Father. Philip, have I been so long time with you? Don't you know me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. The works I do are my Father's works. The words I say are my Father's words. Believe me, I'm in my Father, and my Father is in me, or else believe me for my very work's sake. And not only so, but you will do the same works. And greater works than these shall you do. What for? That my Father may be glorified in you. And he gives you, I give you my resources. You can come to my Father in my name. For when you stand before my Father and you come in my name, that means you come in all the beauty and glory and righteousness of Christ. It doesn't mean, listen to what I'm saying, it doesn't mean for you to make a request and tack the name of the Lord Jesus to your request. It means that when you come in the presence of the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, you stand before the Father even as the Lord Jesus stands. And just as the Lord Jesus had one paramount thing in his life, the glory of his Father, you must have that same thing. And whatever you ask in his name, he will give it you. What for? That the Father be glorified. And not only so, but the Spirit of God will come and live in you. Every one of you who love me. Every one of you. And you love me, you manifest your love by keeping my commandments. And my Father will come and love you. He'll stay in you and abide in you. How? By the Spirit of God. The world knows nothing about it. The world doesn't know, the world can't know, because it doesn't see him. But you know him. He dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The blessed ministry of the Spirit of God in his people. But I'm not through yet. Verses 19 and 20. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me. Because I live, you shall live also. In that day, You shall know I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Now notice the next truth. Not only does he give us his resources, not only will the Spirit of God indwell us, but because of our union with him. A union in life. Because I live, you shall live also. And in that day when the Spirit of God indwells you, you will know I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. My Christian friends, I don't know of any truth that is so neglected and yet is so magnificent for every believer. I don't know what word to use there. I use the word magnificent. I can't find a word in my vocabulary to relate to you how I feel about this question. When the Spirit of God comes to indwell a believer, and that happens the moment he is saved, he's indwelt by the Spirit of God. For the revelation of Christ in his people, he not only comes to live in you, he not only gives you his resources, but he joins you to himself in a union that's comparable to the union between the Father and the Son. Because I live, you shall live also. His life becomes my life. Eternal life is my life. Indwelling life is my life. We had that in chapter 6. It means satisfying life, eternal life, resurrection life, indwelling life, joined to the eternal God. In that day you will know I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. When we come to chapter 17 of John, he has the same thing. In verse 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they all may be one in us. This amazing oneness. Verse 23, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you've sent me, and hast loved them, even as you've loved me. Has it ever got a hold of your heart, my friend, my Christian friend, that when you accept the Savior, you're not only forgiven and indwelt by the Spirit of God, and you stand before God in all the righteousness and beauty and merit of Christ, but you're joined to God in a bond, in a union that's absolutely unbreakable. This union with God, in fellowship, in relationship, in power. Remember what he wants. The revelation of the Father in his people. God wants the world to see him in you and in me. My very attitude. We just had in chapter 13, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. In 1 John I read that God is love. In Ephesians 5 we're to walk in love even as God loved us and sent his Son to die for us. See, friend, God lives in you and God lives in me. And I want to say very frankly, what the world sees in you and me as Christians gives to him a revelation of what our God is like. I've had people in the world say, is he a Christian? I don't want that. I don't want that. Far be it from me. I don't want that. What did they see? They saw a failing, stumbling, sinning Christian who's trying to live a Christian life in his own power and fails and fails and fails. People said, Mr. Mitchell, I'd be a Christian if I could only live it. Well, you can't live it. Let's be very honest about it. You can't live a Christian life. God does that through you and through me. Why do you think he indwells you? Huh? Why do you think he indwells you? Because he loves you. And he wants to reveal through you, through me, his character, his heart, his love, his compassion, his tenderness. You see, by how far short we fall of it, how true that is. Huh? How true that is, how far short we fall. That doesn't alter the fact, friend, that you and I have become channels. We are the only channels for the revelation of God to his people, to the world, to those around us. That's why the Spirit of God indwells us. That's why Paul uses this in 1 Corinthians 6:19 when he said, "Don't you know that your body is the sanctuary of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit, which you have of God, and you're not your own, and you've been bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." It may be I'm talking to some who say, "Mr. Mitchell, I want to be a Christian, but I'm afraid I can't live it." Well, let me tell you frankly, you can't live it. But when you accept the Savior, he not only forgives you, but he comes to live right in you. You're joined to the living eternal God by the Holy Spirit who indwells you. And you can live his life. Or shall I put it this way? As I yield myself to him, he lives his life through you and through me. How is it manifested? As it was with our Lord. By his words, by his works, by his very attitude. "He that has seen me has seen the Father," said Jesus. It's true of you and me. Now, I'm going to leave you there. I'm not through with it yet. I want you to read that passage over and over and over again. And the Lord bless you today for his precious name's sake.